Blog Talk Radio.
You don't need another political uprising. We don't need another conqueror on the scene. What we need is a special word that will burn within our hearts and give us direction from above. Just one word from the Lord will move all the doubts and cause the sun to shine and give peace of mind. Speak, Lord. Thy wisdom and thy understanding. Though we lack the very love you show in the sun, Lord, we've altered in thy ways and we stand so much to gain. So give us your word, Lord.
Rhonda Sanders, your program host. I'm glad that you've joined into the program once again. I certainly appreciate you taking the time to listen to me and to listen to what I have to say. I say it every week. This is a motivational outreach program. And in saying that, what I intend to convey to you is that this is a program to uplift you, to encourage you, to help you maintain a positive attitude in your walk. I'm going to say in life, because I was going to say in your walk with God. Not everyone listening to this program is in a relationship with God today. And so I came to also speak to those persons that may be in that position. And that whatever your situation is, you can be encouraged. If you're not walking with God, there may be a reason that you're listening to this radio outreach program. There's a reason, because God wants to impart something to you. God wants a relationship with you. Jesus wants to be your Lord. Amen. And so there's something prompting you to log on to this program. But whatever it is, my aim, my mission is to uplift you into the things of God in a very, very positive way. There's a theme scripture for this program. It is 1 Corinthians 13:12. I always read the amplified version of the text because it augments the meaning of the text, and I always comment on it. Somehow God will give me a revelation, excuse me, about the scripture. I've had so many interpretations over the years about the scripture, and when I run out of new revelation, I start over. I start over with what God gave me before. The 1 Corinthians 13:12 says, "For now, in this time of imperfection, we see in a mirror dimly." Let me stop right there. Because I have indicated that there are those that are not in a right relationship or in relationship with God, you may be backslidden. You may be in a situation where you said, "I haven't talked to God in so long, I don't know what to say." But that might be your time of imperfection, that time when you're staring into a mirror that's dim, it's blurred, it's not easily discerned what the image is that you're looking at. There is a reason for that. God, first of all, has indicated in his scripture that is a kind of like a process we go through to get to know God. Why is it like that? I can't even answer that question for you. But I do know this. The rest of this scripture is a promise to you that you're not going to stay in that dark glass, because I believe the King James Version talks about a dark glass. This interpretation of the Amplified Version talks about the mirror being dim. You're not going to stay that long looking at that dim mirror. You're going to have some clarity in your life. And I think that is, I don't know, I want to say 35-40% of the problem when we're walking in the things of God. We don't understand a lot of things, and so we tend to get discouraged. We tend to get distracted and even maybe walk off from God himself because we cannot see the whole picture. Well, this scripture promises clarity. It promises reality and that we will know what we need to know. Let me just go on and quote the whole scripture. It says, "For now, in this time of imperfection, we see in a mirror dimly a blurred reflection, a riddle, an enigma." I know how that is. You know, what is going on here? What is the deal, God? I can't even believe this. We get there sometimes. We do. We get there. And so it is important to know that if we persist, God will reveal himself. The rest of the scripture says, "But then when the time of perfection comes," there is a time when we're going to get through this. We're going to walk through it. Things are always going to remain that way. "When the time of perfection comes, we will see reality face to face." We're going to see God face to face. "Now I know in part, just in fragments, but when I will know fully, just as I have been fully known by God." That's the Amplified Version. So there's a promise there, and I believe there's another, maybe the NIV translation, that indicates that God is going to come to us face to face, reveal himself, and then we will know him fully and clearly. And that is a promise. I always say that. Did I say this last week? I was going to turn it into a prayer. And so I think this is another one of those verses I need to turn it into a prayer, because I want to know God fully. A lot of times when we know God fully and we can see things with clarity, we can understand and then we can tolerate some things. It is when we don't know, like here, what I'm really talking about with Job, when we don't know, things just, you know, come out of nowhere, negative, and it really does invite the most negative responses that come out of the recesses of our emotion, our soul, and our heart. We're trying to do the right thing and doing the right thing, and you don't understand it, and there's an instant reaction. Well, in this broadcast, I'm going to give you some a protocol. You know, I looked it up. I said, is this a proper word to use here in this context, protocol? A rule of correct conduct is what it is. I'm going to give you some remedies for that. Even though I'm still in chapter 1 of Job, so it's not over. But for purposes of this broadcast, just to give you some quick remedies, some things that you should do when you're facing this situation. Now, going to Job, and I've entitled this broadcast while I was speaking. Let me tell you, I drew, as always, a lot of times, I draw my title of the episode from the scripture itself. And what I want to say to you about this episode, while I was speaking, I'm talking about this. Let me tell you what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the upright and just person that is obeying God. He's reading his Bible. And I say he or she is reading his Bible. He's doing what God says, walking seemingly in a perfect, upright way. And then here comes these very vicious demonic attacks. Well, I've been there. I've been there when I was attacked. I was attacked when I wasn't really perfect. And I have been there when I was walking upright and perfect before God. And so it really matters how we respond to the situation. And let me tell you, as an upright and blameless person, your response is going to be a little different than that of the person that, say, perhaps maybe has strayed from the things of God and has gone wayward, a prodigal of such. But if you're walking and you're doing everything God has said, say, I'm not in sin, practicing sin. I'm reading your word. I'm praying. I'm praising you. I'm giving. I'm doing all those things. And then an attack comes. It is a different response for that person, that believer that has been doing the right things before God. And so you're speaking. While I was speaking is what I'm saying. While I was quoting God, while I was quoting the word, while I was looking to God to fulfill some of the desires of my heart, here comes this tragedy. And when I look in this is the King James Version, I think, a New King James Version of the text I'm reading here on my desk, and it says it's a tragedy. A tragedy comes when you're trying to do right, when you're doing right. The response is different. Sometimes it is this. Look, what am I doing wrong, Lord? I've done everything you've asked me. Why did you do this? Why did you cause this to happen? Why did it happen? I'm the one doing right. I know some people doing all kinds of mess and being blessed. And so sometimes it might provoke a negative reaction. While we are speaking the word, while we are speaking positively and making our confession daily, there's sometimes, like in Job, will come a tragedy that's vicious and it's demonic. It's designed to test your motives. Test your motives for serving God. And God will allow it. All right, so while we're speaking positively, the questions will come, why am I allowed to go through this? I'm speaking right things. Why is it that Satan is allowed to attack me like this? Well, this is the case with Job. Let me go where I left off last week. I think I left off at verse 8, and I'm going to read for a minute and then stop. In verse 8 of Job chapter 1, it says, then the Lord says to Satan, have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, one who fears God and shuns evil? In verse 9, so Satan answered the Lord and said, does Job's job? Do you hear me? I hear some people saying that. I don't know why that came out of my mouth. But does Job fear God for nothing? Verse 10, have you not made a hedge around him, around his household, and around all that he has on every side? You know, Scripture says that we're troubled and perplexed on every side. But here it says, you have blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land. Verse 11, But now stretch out your hand and touch all that he has, and he will surely curse you to your face. Satan is bringing accusation. I'm going to say this today. Probably if you are a blameless and upright believer, you can't detect any sin in your life, and you're trying to judge yourself as best as possible, and you are trying to please God, doing what you can and know to do, because you haven't done all to stand anyway, and you are attacked, it may be because you are just that, a blameless and upright person, and more subject to accusation and criticism than anyone else. And I think it's, you know, I'm going to be honest, I think it's unfair. I have said to the Lord, why did you take down those that are serving you, those that are doing right before you? Why did you take Abraham at the point that he really was walking upright and blameless before you and tell him, look, now that you've secured this son that I blessed you with, offer him up? And so that's the way of God. I guess that's one of the enigmas or riddles that we have to deal with when we serve the Lord Jesus, when we know God is though steadfast and intending to bless us in the end. Let me go on. Let me go to verse 11. But now stretch out your hand and touch all that he has, and he will surely curse you to your face. Satan is bringing accusation. And we know that Satan will bring accusation. One thing we have to learn is that people will speak against you. And it is because they're jealous. God told me, it wasn't too long ago, he said, Satan is jealous of you. Satan is jealous of you. And I'm like, wow, that's really something I've never heard before. Satan is jealous of the upright and the blameless. He can't bring accusations against you. So, I mean, sometimes Satan will make up something against you or lie against you when you're blameless and upright. That's a sign to me of a blameless and upright believer, too. When they have to make up stuff on you to accuse you about and lie to accuse you, then you know you're walking in the things of God. They can't get you on anything. They don't have anything. And so let's make up something like they did with Jesus, you know. I was just reading in Matthew 23 and 24. Now, the scribes and Pharisees, there you go, people who were supposed to be upright and blameless before God, but they were not. They were not. And they were jealous of Jesus because the scripture does say, but for envy, they sought to kill him, and they sought to set him up with trickery. This is in the scripture. All right, let me move from there. I'm going on to verse 12. It says, and the Lord said to Satan, behold, all that he has is in your power. Only do not lay a hand on his person. So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord. Now there was a day when his sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house. And a messenger came to Job and said, the oxen were plowing and the donkeys feeding beside him, when the Sabaeans raided and killed the servants with the edge of the sword, and I alone have escaped to tell you. While he was still speaking, this is the servant. This is the servant speaking these very negative events about what is going on, the attacks of Job. And like I said, I entitled this broadcast while I was speaking. I'm talking about what Job was doing. Job was serving God with integrity, speaking with integrity. And here is the servant speaking all of these negatives that are actually taking place. I'm going to go a little further here. While he's still speaking, another fire of God fell from heaven and burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them. And I alone have escaped to tell you. While he was still speaking, another also came and said, the Chaldeans formed three bands, raided the camels and took them away. Yes, and killed the servants with the edge of the sword. And I alone have escaped to tell you. Verse 18, while he was still speaking, another also came and said, your sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house. Suddenly a great wind came from across the wilderness and struck the four corners of the house, and it fell on the young people, and they are dead, and I alone have escaped to tell you. Verse 20, when Job arose, tore his robe and shaved his head, and he fell to the ground and worshiped. Hello. I left that out as one of my points. When tragedy strikes, start worshiping. And he said, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return there. And the Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And in verse 22, in all this Job did not sin, nor charge God with wrong. Well, I see right there are about three or four things right there that when we are attacked, we should do. Well, one thing we see is that Job worshiped. He fell to the ground in worship. That's verse 20. That's one, a rule of correct conduct is to worship when we are faced with tragedy. And then, bless the name of the Lord. That's found in verse 21. Blessed, he said, he blessed be the name of the Lord. So we are to worship, we are to bless the name of the Lord when we encounter tragedy. Because, see, we don't know if Satan is testing our motives or not. Now, I know I have an issue with it too. Why is he testing my motives? I'm obviously serving God in an upright way, in my heart, in my mind, with my thoughts, what I do. Maybe Satan can't see. He's a blind something, blind as a bat. So because he can't see your heart and see your motives and see with your true integrity, he accuses you. And this situation will come where you're tested, and then the outward expressions of your inward integrity and devotion to God will come out. And so he's the one handicapped. He's the one that doesn't know God and doesn't know you. But God does know you. Amen. Now, and it said in all this Job did not sin nor charge God with wrong. So what do we have here? When faced with tragedy, I'm talking about this is some vicious stuff. Somebody's died, his children, he's lost his possessions. His house has fallen down and crashed on his children. This is some severe testing. And I know there are those of you out there who have had that kind of test. I know I have. And when you go to it, I really changed my response because I've had to learn it. Not necessarily by reading the word. I've had to learn it by the voice of God telling me what to do at each point when I'm have faced tragedy. So I want to repeat it again. When you're facing tragedy, that you should worship God. You should bless God. And do not sin nor charge God with wrong. Now, this theme of when you are walking upright and when you're walking blameless before God, that you think maybe there's nothing going to go wrong. That is totally untrue. I think you can pretty much glean from what I'm saying now that it doesn't mean you're not going to be attacked. It really doesn't. It might mean that you're going to be attacked even more, and it's not such a savory situation when you know you're doing right before God and you know that you're more likely than not to be more attacked than other people. People are jealous of people, you know. Unbelievers are jealous of each other in church and out of church. One thing I always do, though, when I detect jealousy or, somebody that's competitive or just evil, whether they're in church or not, you should stop and judge the situation before you proceed on anything negative. Now, you know what I wanted to do? I went over to Mark chapter 5. This is one of the, I have ministered from this voice, this passage of scripture. I've ministered from this so much. I have done some major preaching from this passage of scripture. I really like it because it too talks about or deals with a tragic situation. We're talking about Jairus, the ruler, who was losing his daughter. He was losing his daughter. And I'm not going to re-preach the scripture, but I'm just going to go to in support of what I am recommending that you do it as an upright and blameless believer. First of all, get rid of that attitude that you're not going to be attacked. A lot of times we are fearful before the Lord, but it's not the reverence fear that we need. It's a fear, okay, if I do everything right, then I won't be attacked, because you're really fearing the attack, and so you do everything right. Well, God wants you to trust him no matter what. Put your trust in him. It's not really the work that you're going to be doing in your flesh or in your mind, but it's going to be God that will deliver you from any situation. And I know that you would more like to know that you can survive attack than prevent an attack. I would certainly like to prevent an attack, but surviving an attack, then you're prepared for future attacks and you're strengthened thereby. In Mark 5:35, let me go there real quickly. Another passage of scripture. This is when Jairus has approached Jesus, tells him my daughter is at the point of death, and he says, okay, well, come on, follow me. And then the woman with the issue of blood interrupts Jesus, and she is healed. And we get down to the point where the crowd has come upon Jesus, and his power, healing power, touched the woman. And there's a crowd there, and then there is something else that takes place. When he talks to her and says in verse 34, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction. And verse 35, this is where I'm coming to, says, while he was still speaking, Jesus now, while he was still speaking, some came from the ruler of the synagogue's house who said, your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further? When you, now representative of Jesus, is his spirit or the word of God? While you are reading the word of God, or while God is speaking to you via the Holy Ghost, trouble can come. Now, this happened to Jairus as he was believing God for the healing of his daughter. Let me hurry. And it says, while he was still speaking, some came from the ruler of the synagogue's house, your daughter's dead. Why trouble the teacher any further? Well, this is what you have to do. I'm augmenting my remedies when you're facing tragedy and what you should do. First of all, in verse 36, it says, as soon as Jesus heard the words that were spoken, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, do not be afraid, only believe. When you have tragedy, God has spoken to you, you're believing God. Be not afraid and only believe. Be not afraid of the trouble, the tragedy, and only believe. That's what Jesus said to Jairus. Once this negative, bad report came in verse 35. And in verse 37, it says, and he permitted no one to follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. Well, in the face of tragedy, continue to confess positively. Select the proper friends and family in the midst of the situation. Sometimes you have to rid yourself of negative people when you're believing God in the face of such vicious, vicious attack from Satan. You really do. You have to select your friends and family, whoever you're dealing with, mates as well. You have to be particular about who you are around when you're believing God in the midst of a tragic situation. And God and Jesus did the same thing here. He permitted no one to follow him except Peter, James, and John. Verse 38, then he came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue and saw a tumult and those who wept and wailed loudly. When he came in, he said to them, why make this commotion and weep? The child is not dead, but sleeping. Okay, see here, like I said, continue to confess positively. And when you see others reacting to a negative situation, you have to maintain yourself. You have to maintain your emotions. You have to position yourself and be steadfast. Because sometimes emotion will cause you to say and do things that could abort your blessings in the things of God. Sometimes now. So we cannot afford to be emotional. So there were those in the tumult who wept and wailed loudly. Came and said to them, why make this commotion and weep? The child is not dead, but sleeping. Just believe God. Amen. In verse 40, it says, they ridiculed him. But when he had put them all outside, He took the father and the mother of the child and those who were with him and entered where the child was lying. You have to put some people out sometimes when you believe in God. They may be closest to you, your family, your friends. It might be your pastor. You might have to put them out until you get your miracle. Amen. But the important part is to remain positive. And I have here my notes: in the face of ridicule, excuse the people. You might be critical or ridicule. We have to stand in those times. Those are going to lie on you. There are those who are going to ridicule you. And ridicule is a form of embarrassment and criticize you. Then those are the people that you have to exclude from your life in order to get the miracles and the blessings that God has for you. And pay no attention to the wailers. Amen. In verse 41, he said, he took the child by the hand and said to her, Talitha kumi, which is translated, little girl, I say to you, arise. See, we have to move forward when we are facing tragic situations. They may be death, can be destruction. Now, Job had a lot to deal with because he dealt with the death of his children. He dealt with destruction of his possessions. It was a lot to deal with. Yet he did remain steadfast as an upright and blameless person. Amen. So those are the things that we have to do in order to survive those kinds of tragic attacks. I'm coming back next week. I'm going to chapter 2 of Job because there's some more things there that we can go over and look to see how we should respond to very tragic situations, very extremely tragic situations, that is. And so I will do that next week. Also read the tags. I think I added a little bit more there in terms of what we should do in the midst of very tragic, vicious attacks. Well, thank you very much for listening to the program. I really, really, really enjoy speaking on the broadcast, and I know that you enjoy listening. At least I hope you do. And I always say this, but I hope at some point to actually engage actual callers. Maybe I'll start next week. I know I've said this before, but I do plan to engage callers for prayer or for prophetic ministry. So please stay tuned. I will announce it at the beginning of the broadcast. You may go to blogtalkradio.com/BrennaKSanders if you wish to listen to this episode in its archive form, this episode or any other episode on the show page. Again, thank you. Thank you very much for listening. And I will talk to you next week. Also, too, you may go to thinkclearlyinthedark@gmail.com if you wish to email me for a prayer request. And I'd certainly be so gracious, very gracious to respond to you immediately. All right. Thank you again for listening, and talk to you next week.
gotta find.